Good morning. And good morning to everybody watching today. Well, that's a tough act to follow. Worship team, thank you. It was beautiful. Let's just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for those beautiful messages and song sung by that worship team. They were just great. What a blessing. I pray now for this word. Lord, speak through me and just may this message bless you and the congregation today, and just ask for your blessing in Jesus' name, amen. So what's been on my mind, foremost of my mind lately, our prayer time at home and in the meetings, is all the brothers and sisters that are either losing their job or may lose their job in the future. And as we know, in this state, you were hit by like a triple whammy. Some companies are closing down completely. Others are laying off just to improve their bottom line so they make more money. And others are moving out of state, like ATT or Chevron's moving to Dallas. So we keep praying for them until they all find work again. And I remember, I'm old, I'm retired, but I remember going through all this. You get pumped up, you sell yourself, you got to check the benefits at every company. And, you know, some of them have real high pay and no benefits. Others have some great benefits. You got health and dental and vision and matching stock funds and all that stuff. So you want to get a job that has good benefits. My job and Mike's job, we had a pension. Pensions are great, real great. Technically, you get paid until you die, basically, with health care and benefits. I know a guy who worked for 30 years for a major airline, so he was set. He had a pension, and then Pan Am went totally out of business, and then he had to get another part-time job at a very old age. So these man-made financial instruments are not guaranteed. We can only trust and rely on the Lord totally, no matter what you think you have on paper. And when you think about it, all these benefits everybody is making, we pay for them. They pay the benefits out of their earnings, and that's how they pay their employees. So we're paying for those benefits by every time we buy and use something. So it got me thinking about all the benefits we have, the redeemed, the born-again Christians, what benefits we have in Christ. And these benefits start the moment you are saved. You have to be saved to get these benefits. And they last forever, not just until you die, like I was talking about. They last through eternity. So how can that be? Who made this possible? The most familiar verse in the Bible explains it. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." How could you ever top that? It's an indescribable benefit. Eternal life with Jesus Christ. So how was that one paid for? Did we contribute? Anything what we tithe here? Nobody had anything to do with that. You can't buy it. You can't be born into it. You can't marry into it. You can't join a church and go into it. It was paid entirely by Jesus Christ. He did it with his sacrifice on the cross, dying for our sins. All to him I owe. And they don't stop. They keep going through eternity. And they're guaranteed for eternity. These companies' guarantees aren't worth the paper they're printed on. It's whosoever, too. It's not just this sect of people or people from this country. Whosoever means everybody has a chance to join this wonderful family of God. Everybody must make that decision. We heard from that from Andrew a couple weeks ago. You have to make the choice. You have a choice to whether join or not to join. The worship team sang that amazing love. That's what Jesus demonstrated on the cross. How can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. it's my job to honor you, and all I do, I honor you. What a joy and honor to be able to say that today. It's such a relief. So today I want to go through some of these benefits. Let's look at a few. Psalm 103, there's an outline of many of them. And I'll cover a few, starting in verses 2 and 3. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. How's that? Everybody remembers our sin from the past. Horrible. We can't forget them, but we remember them. The present ones, like Gabe shared this morning, he had one recently doing a project. And the ones we're not perfect, we're going to keep sinning. We want to sin less, but we will still sin at times. He forgives them all. And it says, he heals all your diseases. He has the ability to do that. We've seen it in this church, cancer survivors and such. But not everyone gets healed. It's his choice. He made us. He can heal when he chooses and who he chooses. Remember the Apostle Paul, who wrote a third of the New Testament. He prayed several times to heal his thorn in the flesh. Sounds like he couldn't see very well. But the Lord did not. But it didn't stop Paul. He kept serving and writing. And when we get these, we're closer to the Lord. We stay closer when we have these diseases, aches and pains, and our walk actually is strengthened them when we are suffering. So maybe he does that sometimes to grow with us. In the fourth verse, it says, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. We were in a helpless state. You think about a pit. First thing I thought of is something you can't get out of when you're in the pit. In the pit, you have no hope, but with Christ, we have a hope, a wonderful hope. And that love he showers us with, that love and compassion, is when we become children of God. And what does he get? He gets an inheritance from all saved sinners. That's amazing that we, once saved, are his inheritance. We become his people. He calls us his treasured possession. He wants everybody to be saved and join in this family. And the verse, one of the verses says, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be the children of God. Not children born from regular childbirth. Notice the verse says, to all who did receive him. That's not all people. Some people in some religions say we're all children of God. Technically, we aren't. You have to be saved to be a child of God. And he made it very clear in the scripture. In the fifth verse, it says, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Our focus change once we get saved. Our desires change. It shifts from his will, from our will, to his desires. All good things. Oh, so we pray for a car, we can pray for this and that. The good things he's talking about are things that are aligned with his will. When we're walking with him, we'll want what he wants. And those are the good things he's talking about. He doesn't just shower us with temporary gifts. You know, when before you're saved, you see a church, and that's nice. When you get saved, suddenly you love the church. I love this church. I love the family, as Alan said a few weeks ago. It's our desire. Those are the good things when we pray for our church and the brothers and sisters. That is his will. Those are the good things we want. If we want something that's not in his will, that's not the thing to pray for. And when you think of the eagle, it's a symbol of power and strength. despite what we're going through, he revives us and renews us. That eagle, it goes down super fast, and from that going down, it comes right up again. The eagle always soars, and that's what we want to do, is soar for the Lord. In the 8th verse, it says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." That slow to anger is kind of the opposite of our human nature. I can get angry in a nanosecond, but he is slow to anger. And he had many things to get angry for, but he did not. He lived for 33 years. He experienced what we all went through and so much more. He demonstrated his compassion and grace to us as well. Even as we fall and fail, we want to get up again. He's the God of second chances. When we mess up, you repent, do a 180, and get back on the right track. Confess, repent, and get back on the right track. Many of us have had a second chance in here, I know. In verses 9 and 10, he says, "He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." We don't get what we deserve, period. Has anybody ever said, "I deserve this"? That would be just sinful. We don't deserve salvation, period. We are all sinners. At times, he may not get angry, but he disciplines us like a child disciplines his children. He disciplines us with love for our own good. You know how babies are when they don't get disciplined? They just can be out of control. We want the Lord's discipline. And in 11 and 12, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed us, our transgressions from us." That's pretty far. It's an unmeasurable love. He forgets, removes them, and remembers them no more. We remember them because they're scars, and some are embarrassing, but he doesn't remember them. What a relief. So we shouldn't be dwelling on the things we did in the past. We can't do anything about them now. They're forgiven. Look forward. Keep going. Keep our eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. And 13 is, we talk about the Father. "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." What compassion he has. What would you do if you were being anything close to being crucified? You're not going to say, "Oh, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." But that's what he said. The doctor at the breaking of bread describes some of the most painful things of a person being crucified. You always want to stand up to take a breath, and they can't do it. It was a horrible death, and yet he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." That's incredible compassion. And this fear, it's not we're scared stiff of Jesus. Yes, he's powerful and almighty, but the fear that they're talking about in this verse, in Webster's dictionary, it says, "Reverence and awe are profound feelings of respect and honor, foundational feelings to the worship and relationship between believers and the divine. Cultivating reverence and awe towards God involves worship, prayer, Bible study, reflection on creation, obedience, service, and gratitude." That's a great outline for being a Christian. And all these benefits I talked about, what a benefit package. It's like no other, fully guaranteed by Christ, and he can't lie either. So none of this is an exaggeration. And we're secure in him. I'm aging myself again. You buy a tool from Sears. Sears used to be the big department store. If you bought a tool from Sears, it did have a lifetime guarantee. If the tool broke, they would give you another one. But now, what are guarantees out there? Is it guaranteed for the lifetime of the tool, the store, or the company? All three can fail. But the Christ's guarantee is just perfect. Only Christ offers salvation for eternity, no strings attached. In Philippians, Paul explains how to live this great life and enjoy our benefits. And he also compares it to the life of the unsaved. He really comes down on them pretty hard. And I had plenty of years without Christ, and all of you have had before you were saved. Everybody can make a comparison. And if you're not saved, you can ask anybody, a lot of people in here, if they agree with my opinion. But it's much better with Christ. No matter how much fun you're having, you're young, you're strong, no pain. But it is way, there's no comparison for having Christ than not having Christ. So here's this paragraph. In Philippians 3:17-21, it says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now, and tell you now, even again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Ouch. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their minds is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. What a sad life, if you're unsaved, to compare your life as a stomach. Your stomach is your God. In other words, you worry about what you're putting into it. It passes out. Then 5 hours later, you do it again. That's all your people. He compares the stomach as a life. What a sad state of affair that is. And then the glorious body. That's going to be nice. You know, if you don't go to all the meetings on Wednesday nights, we hand out our prayer list, and it's also on the webpage. You can edit your prayer list on the webpage or come and get the paper copy on Wednesday night. I just took an example of one about 2 weeks ago to see how our non-glorious bodies were doing. And not including unspoken requests. And an unspoken request is something you want to keep personal, but it's just as important. And when people pray for, you know, Jessica's unspoken, you're praying, we don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit will go in and pass it, refine it, and pass it up to God the Father. So it's just as important, even if you don't know the exact nature. So one prayer list, 22 various miscellaneous ailments, 15 cancer-related requests, stroke or other heart issues, 13. Here we go with the back, 8. Eyes, 6. Fever, 4. Migraines, 4. Mental issues, 3. Knee, 3. Diabetes, 3. Kidney, 3. Skin problems, 2. Fractures, 2. Neck, 2. MS, 2. A hernia, 2. Shoulder, 1. Hearing aids, 2. The elbow, 1, and the foot, 1. So we went from the head to the toe for a total of 99. All these 99s won't exist in heaven. We're going to have a new, amen, glorious body. And who wouldn't want that? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. You look around us. He is the God of all this. Love, joy, hope, peace, and no greater love. He's the God of all those. His peace of God surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We look forward to that. And we live that now with the peace of God. He changes our lives once we are saved, and we're never going to want to go back to where we were. So what hope does the non-believer have? Zero. I like this song. It's on Caleb all the time. He's a good singer. Brandon Lake. Anybody hear this? It's called Count 'Em. He speaks of countless lives that have been changed. Many here today fall in these categories. I fall in one, I admit it. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. But I just want to read some of the verses. He says, how many enemies ended on bended knees, swallowed up in defeat? Can't count them. How many raging seas opened in front of me? How many victories? Can't count them. How many prophecies no one would dare believe? Now it's reality. Can't count them. How many broken men given a second chance? See all the lifted hands. Can't count them. How many Thomases doubted your promises standing here now convinced? How many hospitals say it's impossible? How many miracles? Can't count them. You know, Sherry and I have been praying for like a family in Spokane and other parts of the family for about 3 years. And we did not give up, but we thought there was no way. And we, in our own way, we're thinking, well, we could, let's do this or this or this. But we waited on the Lord and waited. And then this week, the Lord did a complete miracle. And if I told you the problem, it would be a way you would never even think that this problem could be solved. But he worked a perfect miracle, and it has a completely joyous ending. Brittany knows what I'm talking about. So in closing, we all have souls, all of us. It's not die and you're done. We all have souls, and we're all going to spend eternity somewhere. Believers will spend eternity with Christ, with this family of God, that we enter once we're saved. Unbelievers will not. And eternity starts right now. It's not, you know, it's not like the moment. It could be right now. Well, we're all going to have a last breath. Nobody knows when. It could be today in 40 years. That's 680 out front. There was a sign the other day. I'm not kidding. The digital sign said, this is a freeway, not a drag strip. I told you guys this before. I was going 65 after church, and a guy passed me, doing probably must have been 80. He came in through, passed me right in front. He made it, but he was racing with another guy, and the next guy comes through and didn't make it, and he hit the left front of my car. And at that speed, I could have been dead, but, you know, you could flip the whole car out of control at that speed, but it didn't happen, thank God. So we don't know what's going to happen to us at any point. But today in Scripture, today is always the day of salvation. So let's continue to praise the Lord and never forget all God's benefits and enjoy all our lives in Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. You shower us with benefits that we don't deserve. We just praise You for that. We pray that this message touched hearts, and we pray that just give us a relaxing afternoon thinking of You. In Jesus' name, amen.